Levina 102 on this Tuesday afternoon. Melusis with you on a Tuesday midday. In for BT and Sal. Dove Pete across the way. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Tonight, the All-Star game down in Arlington, Texas. And I enjoy it. I mean, I do. I think for baseball fans and really for sports fans, it's a very kind of quiet time. We're going to soon, slowly but surely ramp up to NFL training camps and the like. But to me, it's always kind of brings you back to your childhood. And the All-Star game, you're not going to be able to do, and I know Bud Selig at the time, the MLB commissioner, added meaning to the game, putting home field advantage for the World Series on it. Is it in like the way and the style and fashion which the game is being played? And we've seen issues, whether it be the NHL All-Star game, whether it be the Pro Bowl, which was a disaster. Now it's a flag football game. The NBA All-Star game, people very critical of that because of the lack of, I would say, intensity. Guys are, looking at it and viewing it as more of an exhibition than anything else. And that is really ultimately what it is. Like, sometimes in life, you don't have to make it anything more than what it is. Like, the Major League Baseball All-Star game, I'm excited to see Paul Skeens tonight. Understood why, Derek Shelton took him out, when he's throwing the no-hitter against the Milwaukee Brewers. Seven innings, 99 pitches, throwing the no-hitter. He's only thrown, I think his high watermark as a starter this year is 107 pitches, but he's an unbelievable asset for that Pirate franchise, and he needs to be protected. And that's what you see in today's day and age of Major League Baseball. Guys are going to be protected, especially young starters. But he is impressive. He's one of those guys that I mentioned before, as far as hitters, when we were talking a lot about Pete Alonso and his future and the statements that he had to say after, his home run derby performance last night, which was not exactly brilliant. But not going to knock him. You give him credit for wanting to be a part of the event, being the star that he is, and not be in fear and failure. But we talked about with Alonso that he's one of the players here that if you are a sports fan, baseball fan, you stop to watch his at-bat. To go along with Judge, to go along with Soto, there are not many of those guys. There really isn't. Skeens is one of those pitchers that you sit back, relax, and watch because the way he goes and the style and fashion in which he pitches, he's the deserved starter for the National League. Corbin Burns is going to be the starter tonight for the American League. But Skeens is one of those guys that, standing at 6'6", was a star at LSU, was the, helped them win a national championship, was the college and SEC pitcher of the year, was the MVP of the College World Series. Like, he has done everything. Throw in the fact that he dates Livy Dunn, adds a little extra to the mix, and you look at the 6'6 power righty, and there's nothing not to like. One of those old school drop and drive guys, harking back to the days of the Rocket, Roger Clemens. That's what you feel like when you're watching him pitch, and I look forward to watching it tonight. I do. And it is what it is. Don't make anything more. Don't make the home run derby anything more than it is. Don't make the red carpet anything more than it is. Don't be fearful of the lack of intensity in the game. Like, it's supposed to be fun. The days of there being allegiance to the National League or the American League, those days in Major League Baseball are long gone. The days of, one league feeling like the redheaded stepchild, those days are long gone. There's no longer those allegiances. That added to the intensity. There's not going to be Pete Rose sliding to home plate against Ray Fosse. I mean, those days are long gone. And that's fine. You can still appreciate those days and appreciate what you're going to get tonight in the Major League Baseball All-Star game and appreciate the performance and what you get from Skeens and what you're going to see from Judge and Soto and the representatives here in New York and seeing all the stars aligned down at Globe Life down in Arlington, Texas. And it's going to be a fun night and a celebration of the sport. We kicked off the program talking a lot about Alonso and his future with the New York Mets. And, it bears worth repeating. The Mets are going to be in a scenario, as we talked a lot about it yesterday, going to be a scenario come the MLB trade deadline where they're going to have to add to this team. And, the bullpen is just, it's amazing. Think about this. It's amazing that the Mets were 11 under, now are 3 over with the bullpen that they have in place. You have to have a lineup that's really productive, and their lineup is. The way that they handle that starting rotation, well, they're into that bullpen every single day, and that bullpen fails to perform. And for David Stearns and company, as they take an assessment and the wait-and-see approach on this season, and that was kind of the mindset and the sentiment coming into this year when looking at guys like in the future of Pete Alonso here in New York, well, You've watched this team and what they've done, and there's no doubt that this team needs to add to that bullpen come the MLB trade deadline, and they're not going to be taken away. And when I watch Alonso last night, even though he didn't give you a great performance and he hasn't had a fantastic first half and he had only, 19 home runs here at the All-Star break, when I look at Alonso, unquestionably to me, it'd be upsetting, sad to see him go. If he in 2025 is lining up in and is in the starting lineup for another organization. And I know you can win in other ways. When he tells you he wants to be a Met, I believe him. When Steve Cohen talks about, echoes the sentiment that, we'll see where we stand after the season. They brought Brandon Nimmo back, which they did. They brought Edwin Diaz back, which they did. When Alonso's telling you that he wants to be a Met, that this is home, this is the spot he wants to be, I agree with him. And I believe him. And those that scoff at it, and we've had a number of Met fans call up today throughout the course of the midday, talk about the fact of Pete Alonso is a player, what he does do and what he doesn't do, where he is statistically, how he is trending, and he hasn't responded well this year in a contract year and saying, well, move him and go get somebody else. Be careful what you wish for. What he is as a player, what he is as a hitter, his impact on the sport, his impact on this lineup, his presence in that lineup, that is not easily replaceable. That really isn't. So you got to be careful with that. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. And I know there's no emotional connection when you're looking at David Stearns, his first year running this organization, and he's going to run this organization as he sees fits. Right? So it's not a matter of where he feels any sort of loyalty outside of this season with Pete Alonso. But what surprises me is the Met fan that looks at Alonso, and maybe the fact that success hasn't come along, they haven't won a World Series, they haven't been to the NLC, like all the things that come along and equate to a player and a connection, an emotional connection to the fan base. And at one point in time, it was there. What surprises me, it is frayed to the point that it has. Because I think if we had this conversation a year ago, undoubtedly, 99.5% of the calls that called into this very radio station would tell you that they wanted Alonso back. Regardless of the price, that they wanted him back, that he had to be a forever Met, that he needed to be his homegrown, represents the franchise well, tremendous power, remarkably consistent, doesn't necessarily need protection in the lineup to go out there and produce. Those guys are very difficult to replicate and find, that he needed to be here long term. Now we're not at that point. And maybe it's because of the sour taste in the mouth from a year ago and how this team played. Maybe it's a case of the fact that he's having a down year, the belief of potentially what he's looking for. We've had a number of Met fans call up, and the fact that he hired Scott Boras to be his agent, that has rubbed some people the wrong way. Well, I'll tell you, even though maybe he is not as open and free when talking with the media after games or before games, maybe his personality has changed a little bit. It's about what he is as a performer, what he is as a baseball player. And I'll tell you, Alonso as a baseball player has been remarkably productive. And as I watched him last night in that home run derby, if he's wearing another uniform next year in the home run derby, and he said he'll be back, and he's not wearing a Mets jersey, I think for a lot of baseball fans of the city, it'll be a sad occurrence. And I don't think he's getting moved at the MLB trade deadline because the Mets have played themselves into contention in the wild card race. I think it's a case of what it comes down to the offseason. Now, if the ask is astronomical, then that brings another layer into the course of the conversation. But if it's a reasonable ask about what he's looking for in terms of a contract, what he said last night I think rings true. He'd like to be home. That's in Queens. That's at Citi Field. And that is with the New York Mets. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Yankees, we haven't chatted a lot about today at all. And the Yankees, as we discussed yesterday a little bit, we kicked off the program with it, about the pressure on Brian Cashman this year to go out there and add to this team at the MLB trade deadline. given the uncertainty of Juan Soto's future. You know, when Soto yesterday is talking about, you know, Shohei Ohtani being a player that he'd like to play with, and was asked, you know, and he's obviously a global icon and got paid an unbelievable amount of money by the Los Angeles Dodgers during the course of the offseason. I don't necessarily think that has anything to do with being a threat to either the Yankees or the Mets this offseason. I really don't. The Dodgers are loaded with stars, whether it be Freddie Freeman, whether it be Mookie Betts, whether it be Shohei Ohtani. I mean, up and down the lineup. And I know they've taken some hits talent-wise due to guys aging out and lack of performance and moving on and stuff like that. It's not exactly the same team, you know, from, you know, where it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But Ohtani is that caliber of player, but so is Aaron Judge. And I think when it comes down to Juan Soto and his future, and as this Yankee team, you know, plays down the stretch, and they've got, I think, 64 games to go in the MLB regular season, when their second half gets going Friday night against Tampa Bay in a wraparound series, the focus is obviously going to be on winning. If this team continues to, say, struggle and scuffle along, and you have a lack of belief that this team is going to do anything come October, and they should be a playoff team. If not, it's an unmitigated disaster this season. Then potentially heads are going to roll after the year. But you know, if this team is a playoff team, as everyone expects them to be, and they get reinforced by Brian Cashman come the MLB trade deadline, obviously the questions are going to continue to ring about Juan Soto and his future. I've made it perfectly clear, as a Yankee fan, I'm just enjoying this season. I don't really get overly concerned about where Juan Soto ends up at the end of this year. I really don't. I don't necessarily read into anything that he had to say about Shohei Ohtani. I think that would be foolish to do so. I think you'd like to remain on the East Coast. And I do think, ultimately, he's going to remain in this city. I think it's either going to be Queens or it's going to be the Bronx. But the Yankees in the second half, the pressure that they're going to feel as an organization is real. It's tangible. They haven't won a World Series since 2009. This team was put together to try and win a World Series this season. Soto's uncertainty. Verdugo's got to get going. Volpe's got to get going. Obviously, you need to get Giancarlo Stanton and his power presence in the middle part of that lineup. I think Yankee fans who look at Giancarlo Stanton and the criticism that has come along his way, and there's no doubt that Stanton has been a guy who has been, you know, booed by fans at Yankee Stadium, has handled those boos brilliantly as a pro's pro, hasn't really been, I would say, welcomed with open arms at times. I think with his being out, and I understand it's frustrating him suffering the injury that he did, and he gets hurt every single year, but being out after he suffered that hamstring injury for a month, I think now you have a healthier respect for Stanton's impact on this lineup. Because under the radar, with the focus being on Judge and Soto, Giancarlo Stanton was having a really good power year. He might not be able to run the bases. He might look like me rounding third base going to home, but I can't hit the ball 485 feet or 460 feet or 420 feet. I can't have an exit velocity of 110 or 112 or 113. I can't do any of that. I can't run either. Neither can Stanton, but that's not what he's paid to do. And for this lineup, as you have the consistency of Judge and Soto at the top half of that lineup or the top third of that lineup, it's time for some of these other guys, which should be able, you would expect. Volpe can't be this bad. Verdugo can't be this bad. Wells is going to get more reps behind home plate. You like what you've seen from the youngster and Ben Rice. Getting Stan back on this team with a starting rotation that you hope Gerrit Cole gets back to being what we expect Gerrit Cole to be in the second half after his return from injury. And then you get to the starting rotation, and then you get to the closer's role with, even though Clay Holmes is an all-star, we'll be representing the Yankees in the American League tonight down in Arlington. Holmes has got 6 blown saves on the season. But for the Yankees right now, it's just like we talked about with the Jets last hour, being all in on this year, the Yankees undoubtedly are all in. And they've got to act as such and be aggressive come the MLB trade deadline. And add to this team, can't cover up all the warts, but be as aggressive as humanly possible because they have no other choice. And even despite as poorly as they've played for the last 6 weeks, they're still only sitting a game behind the Orioles in the American League East. 117, Melusis with you, 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. We'll come back with your calls. Roll until 2. Evan and Tiki come your way then, right here, the Fan in New York.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
All right, it's Call of the Day time, brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. Long Island we go. It's Neil, it's the Fan. What's going on, Neil?
Listen, I'm a longtime Jet fan. I haven't missed a play in 58 years. I was at the 68 championship.
Is that true? Can I ask you a question, Neil, before we get to it?
Sure.
You have not missed. You have not missed a play of one
not
Jet game.
Not a single preseason, regular season, practice. I've been to the practice facility many times.
That is
doesn't get any bigger than me.
That is a bold. That is a bold statement. There's never been a wedding, a graduation,
nope.
a birthday celebration,
nope.
a trip.
Nope.
Nothing that has ever taken
nothing.
You away from a Jet game.
Absolutely not. In fact, I insist with my wife for 38 years, any occasion that runs into a Jet football game is a no and a check. That's it. Doesn't happen.
What's the
now, Moose?
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, like,
what's the closest family relative that you turned down going to a wedding in order to watch a Jet game?
Well, I turned the first cousin down, and I will say this to you:
yes,
the people who know me, who are close to me,
yeah.
wouldn't dare plan anything on a football Sunday, knowing the sick fan I am.
Gotcha.
I mean, I am a sick. Sick
yes.
person.
And you're now, as a Jet fan, you're tortured as well. Yeah, there you go. Good call by Neil. That's not missing a play for 58 years of one Jet game. I mean, that's amazing. That really is. When you think about the fact that not going to weddings, not enjoying life, all you're there is your lock, stock, and barrel watching Jet football. It's not like they've been the epitome of success either.
Imagine not going to a wedding or a big celebration, best wedding ever. And then watching the Dan Marino play take place.
Yeah, I know. Exactly right.
I skipped out
the fake
on
spike.
I skipped out on a life event for this.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I think to my life. I mean, my wife can't wait to get me out of the house. I was like, I haven't played golf in a while. She's like, go play. You know. No, the less I see of you, the better. But I don't know. Like that is tremendous commitment by Neil. That really is. That is an amazing commitment by Neil to being a Jet fan. Crazy. Let's head out to Orient Point, New York. It's Gary. It's the Fan. What's going on, Gary?
How you doing, Mooch?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you, buddy?
All right. Hanging in there. All right, I've been a Met fan since their conception. I'm 70 years old. About Alonzo, they got to keep him. Definitely got to keep him. He's pressing because of his contract. If they were smart, they'd try to sign him now, and you see him explode again. That's his problem.
Yeah, I don't think they're first off, with the agent he now has, I mean, he's going to hit free agency. I mean, he really is. That's the history of Boris. That's what he does. He's going to hit the open market. But like I've mentioned before, agents are, the player is not working for the agent. The agent is working for the player. That's how
agreed.
It works, right? So, and that works in all entities. So Alonzo's going to be directing it exactly where he wants to go. So we've seen it. You saw you saw it two off seasons ago with Aaron Judge. Oh, when Judge called Steinbrenner, told him where the other offers are, needed more money. He wanted to be a Yankee, and Steinbrenner was able to seal the deal and got the deal done. So agents work to a point. I understand that Boris does not give the Met fan a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. I understand that, but still, that's where we stand here. I don't think they're going to sign him right now. I don't think that's going to happen. I hope. I've always kind of felt, and I'm going to maintain it, that Alonzo's going to be here in 2025 and beyond.
Well, that's the reason why he's not playing well. It's the contract, without a doubt. You can see he presses. He swings at every outside pitch. He's just pressing. That's he is
pressing a little bit, Gary, and hopefully he's able to relax a little bit here in the final 60-plus games of the regular season after the All-Star break. We had a conversation a little bit when a caller called up yesterday, critical that he was participating in the Home Run Derby. I thought it could be a positive, maybe kind of jump-starting him, gaining a little bit of confidence, performing well in the Home Run Derby. Well, I mean, the Home Run Derby went not particularly well for Alonso last night. He struggled. Bat looked a little slow. He looked a little tired. So didn't get necessarily the performance from Alonso, who was the betting favorite going into the event based on previous success, and he has won the Home Run Derby on two previous occasions and was going for his third title last night. But I give him credit for participating, and we'll see exactly what he does post-All-Star break, and it would be tremendous to see him get hot like we've seen before in the past for Alonso, and what that lineup has done without him being that kind of presence, and what that lineup then could be with that kind of performance. Let's head out to Fort Lee. It's Mitchell. It's the fan. What's going on, Mitchell?
Hello?
Yes, Mitchell. You're on the fan.
Yeah, hi, Mark. How are you? First of all, Mark, how would you like to join me Friday night, Yankees versus Tampa Bay? Would you like to join me Friday night?
I can't on Friday night, Mitchell.
Okay.
But it's like I'm getting asked out on a date.
Okay. All right.
Are flowers involved?
No flowers. Just a Yankee game with good food, some cold beers, and watch the Yankees win.
Listen, okay. I'd love to go. I'd love to go. I can't go on Friday night, though.
Okay. So pick another game. That's fine. Okay, Mark, get into the Yankees. Any game you want. You want to go to Met game next week with me? You can go to Met game with me next week.
Well, Mitchell, look at you. I mean,
I have season tickets, Mark. I have season tickets.
I know right you do. Field. Do you sit in right field still, right by Judge?
Yeah.
Well, where
right
Judge
by,
used to play.
Right now it's Soto. Yeah.
Right now we're Soto, right. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So you got my number. You can text me if you want to go to a game. All right, Mark, getting out to the Yankees. Here's the first part to it. We're going to start next on Friday. We're going to get back some guys back on the team. We're going to get back Stanton should be back. Birdie should be back. And we're going to get who's the other guy that we traded for 2 years ago from the Cubs? He had Tommy Johnson. Efren, is that the last name?
Yeah, correct. The reliever.
Okay. All right, we got him coming back. We got three of those. That's fine. Now, that'll solve two parts of the bullpen. And Stanton we need because what's happening now is that Judge and Soto can't produce enough runs between the two of them because the rest of the team is not hitting. Also, I think we need to happen is we need LeMahieu to start hitting. I mean, he's starting to hit now. Last year, he had the same problem when he didn't play the first half of the season due to the injury, and he came back the second half. He was hot as can be. We need that. We need Volpe then to start, even with his errors. I mean, even the game that on Sunday, I mean, we would have won the game. If Volpe didn't make the error there, it would have been out of the inning. But, you know, he's a kid, and he's doing okay, but his bat is not like it was last year. I really think the Yankees got to go out and get, what do you think about this? Go get a left fielder, a bat that can hit the ball, you know, a big bat. And then also, because they're not going to get two positions.
Well, what are you doing with Verdugo then?
Verdugo, you're playing, you're using him off the bench. You have another bench player. Mark, look at the bench. Look at the players we have off the bench. It's a complete joke.
Mitchell, the Yankees are not going to go out and get themselves an everyday left fielder. They have one in Verdugo. Verdugo's got to start playing and hitting like he did to start the season.
Well, Mark, you can get a guy that's not a top guy, but you can get another outfielder, and you can put him there, and then you can have a guy, also he can come off the bench, because look, our bench play is horrible. The guys that we have on the bench now, if we need a big hit or a home run or something, we're not getting it. We're not getting with Grissom. I mean, Grissom can't do very much. They have the other guy there. I forgot his name, but he can't do much. I mean, we don't have what we had years ago in 2009. We had a bench where you can say, wow, we can bring someone up and give you a power shot. We don't have that.
I'm not telling you that they couldn't use a little bit of bench help. I'm not disagreeing with you there. If you're asking me for the Yankees going to go out themselves and pay the price for an everyday left fielder, I don't. I think Verdugo's a left fielder. Judge is your center fielder. Soto's out in right. You get Stanton back. You get Birdie back into the mix, obviously, with third. I don't know if I necessarily have as much hope as you do when it comes to DJ LeMahieu. I agree with you. Volpe eventually is going to turn it around and be the offensive player. You like the pop that you can get from Wells behind home plate, and he's going to get extended playing time and extended starts at catcher. Rice has looked good since he's gotten called up. I know he went for the stretch of, what, he was 1 for 21 or 1 for 22, but had that big home run down in Baltimore that gave them the lead before Holmes and the defense let the Yankees down. I think Cashman's going to add to this team. I think they could use a bench spot. I think they could add to the bullpen. The starting rotation, you'd like to see them not be as inconsistent, whether it be Rodon in the first inning, whether it be Nestor Cortez being better at home than he is away. Stroman has never been a great second half pitcher. You need Gerrit Cole to be back to his dominant self in half number two.
Right, but Mark, also, you got to remember, we also, Schmidt now just started throwing.
Yeah.
Losing Schmidt was a big part to it. I mean, no one understands it. And what's his name? The last two games, I call him Gil, but I know it's him.
No, it's Luis Gil. You go to game, yeah, you have a season ticket holder, right?
Yeah,
if you're a Yankee fan, you call this radio station, it's Luis Gil, not Luis Gil.
Oh, Gil. Okay, but Mark, the last two games he's pitched pretty well.
Yeah.
That's what we need back from him. But here's the bigger part that everyone complains about, Mark. It's a two-part show I look at. Everyone, I listen to the fan every day. Everyone complains about Cashman. And the second part is, the bigger part to the problem you have to worry about is Boone. Boone is the one you have to worry about. He just doesn't get everything out of these players that you should get out of the players. When they're not doing well, you got to do something. You got to set them down on the bench and take them out of the game or do something. Boone, I worry about more than anything else. And Cashman, Mark, you know this for many years. When Brian was, whenever the Yankees are close, they need one, two, or three players. Guess what? He always pulls it off. Whatever way he does it, he pulls off the trades to get it. And I think the Yankees will be fine. I think the Yankees are going to win the World Series this year.
Well, Mitchell would be great to see a parade down the Canyon of Heroes. It would be fantastic for the Yankees to win a World Series this year, the first time since 2009. I'm not there yet. I'm really not. A little bit more concerned that you are. You're a positive Pete here on this Tuesday. I respect that. I like positive people. Don't necessarily lean negative when it comes to it. But I think the Yankees have shown some warts when you're looking at this team. If everything goes the way that you talk about, Mitchell, yeah, I think you can envision this team being dynamic or very difficult to beat come October. I'm not there yet. You know, the proof is going to be, you know, I'm more of an eyeball test. What I'm actually watching on the field, how the team is playing, how they're developing. And I've talked about Boone. I don't disagree. I think there comes a point here where he becomes the easy scapegoat when you look at him. It's easy to call up this radio station when the team is struggling and say, fire Boone. Well, do you call this radio station when the team is playing well and give Boone all the accolades in the world for the success that they're having? Or is that the player? See, it can't be both ways. When they're playing well, Boone deserves just as much credit as when they're playing poorly. Here's where I've gotten on Aaron Boone before. And where the criticism has come his way is, I think the messaging that he delivers to, you know, Joe and Jane Yankee fan in the post game after a difficult loss, after, say, a malaise performance individually, I think that messaging needs to change. I think the idea of Aaron Boone coming out and telling everybody, well, it's still all in front of us. Well, I heard that in 2022. I've heard that before. It's the old crutch that he likes to go to. Yes, everything's in front of us, right? Life is in front of me. Life is in front of Dove. Life is in front of Pete. The day is in front of me. I don't know what the day will bring. Who knows? Maybe I'll have ice cream later. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Everything's in front of me. Yes, I understand that. Everything's in front of the Yankees. Yes, everything. They can still accomplish what they set out to do. Yes, they're not 10 games under the 500 mark. We all understand that. Yes, everything's in front of the Yankees. Stop saying that. Like, stop saying that. When you watch this team play the way that they were playing, you're looking at it and you're like, well, something's got to shift. Something's got to change. We know that Boone's not going anywhere. I'm not asking for him to go anywhere. Just change the messaging. It's okay to be critical at times. It's okay to say, you know what, hold your player accountable. I don't want to hear about when Trent Grisham, I understand he's a slick fielding center fielder and he plays the game to a certain rhythm, but, you know, after the Reds game, when it didn't decide who won or lost the game, but that finale on the 4th of July when I was on that afternoon, when he's telling me that, and telling Yankee fans, not just me, but Yankee fans, well, Grisham plays with a slow heartbeat rhythm. What the hell does that mean? Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, just say after the game, you know, and then comparing it to you and I, saying, well, it's not like if you and I were playing a pickup game and I want them to attack the ball. Well, no, I'm not a center fielder in the major leagues. I get it. I'm not playing rec league baseball. But here's the one thing. I don't want to see a guy turn a single into a double because he's lackadaisically fielding the ball. Don't defend it. That's all. It's okay. You could be critical at times and still be a player's manager. You could be critical at times and still have an open ear, a shoulder to cry on, player friendly, you know, be accessible, be good communicator, be a great collaborator. Everything that you hear with a modern day manager, especially when you look at Aaron Boone, he's a really good guy. There's nothing not to like. But you are, as a manager, the Yankees spend a lot of money each and every year on their payroll. You, as a manager, are defined by whether or not you win or lose. Like, you get into the dopey conversations, as we did at the time, about process over results. No, this is a results-oriented business. If the decision you make, A, does not help B, you winning, then that decision was a bad one. I don't care what the logic or the reasoning behind it was. And if you can rationalize it out and reason it out, that is what professional sports is all about. You're not playing, hockey on the Pee Wee level. You're not going out there playing, baseball, Babe Ruth level. We're not talking about young kids. It's not high school, right? We're talking about professional athletes. You are defined in this city by whether or not you win or lose. It infuriates me when I hear Yankee fans talking about, well, the Yankees had a good regular season. Who cares? Yeah, fun going to the stadium. Have a couple libations. Have a hot dog, a pretzel, whatever it might be. Get the ice cream and the Yankee hat. Fantastic. Lovely day. Great day to spend a night and a summer afternoon, whatever it might be. Fantastic. It's great. Enjoyable. No doubt. What do you do come October? Because if we start to minimize what those that did and those that won and those that performed when it counted the most, then you minimize it all. You minimize what Mariano was. You minimize what O'Neill was. You minimize what Bernie was. You minimize what Jeter was, what Posada was, what David Cone was. And that's not right. You put together a team, yes, to get yourself and put yourself in a position to win in October. But then in October, it's what do you do with that opportunity? And do you have the personnel to be able to handle that moment? And not only perform in the regular season, but also define yourself as a player, as an organization, about what you do in the playoffs. So ultimately, that's what counts the most. That's what it's all about. And that's what it should be all about. 140, Malusa's with you. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Come back with your busy calls. Taking right up until 2. Evan and Tiki, come your way then. A lot of negative headlines last night. Country singer Ingrid Andres sang the national anthem before the Home Run Derby, which brought up a lot of conversations of some of the worst national anthems you've ever heard. Here, if you missed it last night, we have a little bit of a clip play.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag.
Yeah, the first reaction I saw afterward was our good buddy Nick Totoro, who always goes on rants on social media after Yankee losses and basically screaming and hollering about how bad the national anthem was. Well, we do have a little bit of an update. What do we got, Hoff?
Yes, we have an alert. She actually came out on social media in all forms, X, Instagram. I'm not going to BS, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let you all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO, Ingrid.
There you go. All right. Well, now we have an explanation as far as why that happened. Hopefully she gets the necessary help she needs.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think she drank more after that performance? Because that was rough.
What was it? I think it was Carl Lewis before a net game was like one of the worst I've ever heard in my life. Like Carl Lewis yes. Before a net game was just, it was like Carl Lewis was, if you're not old enough to remember, Carl Lewis was an amazing sprinter. United States sprinter, 100, 200, 4x100, champion of the Olympics, winning all these amazing track athlete. He really was. Sang the national anthem, I think, before a net game at the old Brendan Byrne Arena. And it was one of the worst renditions I've ever heard in my life. And there have been many. There really have been. I think there have been many over the years. There really is. But if I'm thinking about like the worst, and that was bad last night. It wasn't Carl Lewis bad. Like Carl Lewis bad was just on a different level. Do you have it, Pete? All right, here.
Here we go. Oh! I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
Just so bad. What an amazing, just so bad.
That was worse, but I will say this is a national stage versus,
I understand. Listen, she's going, hopefully she gets all the help that she needs. She came out, she explained it. I don't know if rehab's super fun. I really don't. Hopefully she gets the help she needs. Last night, you're right, on the national stage, and you were like, hopefully she doesn't go to social media afterward, because there was not one positive response at all. Like, that's the one where you shut down all notifications. And you move on. Shut the phone off. Don't pay attention to social media.
My feel is that she checked social media about 30 minutes ago and wrote that post in about 10 seconds and then posted it.
Yeah, maybe. But now we have an explanation. So, good luck, Ingrid. Good luck. I don't know. And I had never, have you ever heard of her before?
No. But I don't think, our intern, Brandon, was here and he was saying, oh man, that's it. She's done for. She'll never be heard from again.
And I don't think that.
Yeah. Roseanne Barr came back and she spit after the national anthem.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. She did. I mean, but I like some country music. I had never heard of her before. And was watching last night, and it was obviously it's the All-Star break. There's not much going on, so you're looking for something to entertain you. So you flip that on, and you hear the national anthem. I'd never heard of her before, and the performance was stunningly bad. But I don't think it's going to define her career.
Unforgettable.
No, it
that's
really
what
was.
That is.
It was like you went.
It's going to go down in the annals.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, doggy. Well, we got a couple minutes left to play with, so hopefully she gets the help she needs as she's checking into rehab, as she admitted that she was intoxicated last night singing the national anthem before the All-Star game. But it was very apologetic, and hopefully Ingrid gets the help that she does need. And tonight, it's going to be fun. I mean, there's not much. You've got the convention going on, obviously, but there's not much from a sport perspective, other than, the All-Star game tonight. And, I always get into it. I think, my wife will be home. I just got a picture from Chip's vet, doctor. He's doing well. I asked what's wrong with his stomach. He said he had no idea. So Chip may or may not be, back at the Malusis household tonight. Who knows? As he's still having massive digestive issues, and the Malusis household is paying for it. Undoubtedly paying for it. But I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I get into it every year. I appreciate it for what it is. I'm looking forward to see Skeens. I think Major League Baseball, and even though it is a regionalized sport, and unquestionably that it is, you care about, different than the National Football League, where you care about what everyone else is doing. And there's a lot of reasons why, whether it be fantasy football, whether it be gambling. The NFL is the easiest sport to go have an understanding, how to gamble on it as compared to Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, you care, about what's going on your block. You don't care about necessarily what's going on around the league until the MLB trade deadline comes rolling along. Then you have a little bit of a care about it, but in terms of who's available, baseball's got to do a better job of marketing and doing a better job of, and they're never going to be able to overcome the limitations that they have as a sport, the rhythm to the game. They've tried to speed up the process where it is from a regionalized perspective. But what they can do is, as a league, they can go out there and more, and they can go out there and talk about their stars, talk about the brilliance of their young stars, the impact of those players. And Skeens is one of those guys. You know, when you look at a guy that is as dominant as he is early on, kind of look at it, he's only made his major league debut May the 11th. Go out there and market him for what he potentially could be for this league. And they've done it with certain players. They need to do more of it. It's been a massive criticism. I think it's led to where baseball falls right now in terms of the popularity amongst the four major sports, and it's number three. The National Football League is by far the most popular. Then you get into the NBA. Then obviously you talk about Major League Baseball. Then a far fourth is the National Hockey League. Even though I love it, I understand that it's limited when you're looking at the fan base and the reaction that you're going to get from those fans. But Major League Baseball has to do a better job of marketing those young players. And we've said it time and time again. They've done a nice job of speeding up the game, making it a little bit more readily watchable. Some like it, some don't. I like it. I like a game that goes in, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes. I don't need to watch a 4.5 hour baseball game to enjoy that game during the course of the regular season. But that's not what all tonight's about. Tonight is about the young star and the established stars like Judge and Soto and the rest of them that you'll see tonight representing the American League and the National League down in Arlington, Texas. And what you're going to see toe the rubber and who you're going to see toe the rubber for the National League is one of those young, impactful pitchers that is really a generational talent. That is what Skeens is for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was a star for LSU collegially. He was the number one overall pick in 2023. He's been dominant. Last start we saw him, he threw 7 no-hit innings against the Milwaukee Brewers. He's the deserved star tonight for the National League, and that's where I think they got it right. It's not about the established guys. This is about giving a rookie pitcher who's been a dynamic force an opportunity on the national stage, and that's exactly what Paul Skeens has tonight, representing the NL and representing the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I think for the baseball fan out there, don't look at it anything more than really kind of what it is. I'm not going to come on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. filling in for BT and Sal and giving a breakdown necessarily of what went wrong, what went right in the All-Star game, or giving you the take. And I know it's, you know, a slow week, but how you necessarily can improve the All-Star game. Not going to waste the oxygen on that. Who cares? It's an exhibition. That is what the All-Star game is. It is an exhibition. It is in the NHL, is in Major League Baseball, is now with the flag football game in the NFL, and is in the NBA. Take it for what it is, good and bad. And I understand it's not necessarily the same intensity that it once was. You cannot manufacture that. You cannot put extra importance on it where it's not deserved. Tonight is what it is. Hopefully the stars show themselves well. They show out, play out, have a great time, enjoy the sport, bring in some younger fans, make it entertaining, make it fun, have a good time. That's really what the All-Star game should be year in and year out. Hoff, great job across the way. Dove, always great to see you. I'm with you all week long. Be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. filling in for BT and Sal. Thank you for all the calls throughout the course of the program. Really enjoyed the last 4 hours. Stay cool. It's a steamer out there today. Evan and Tiki, come your way then. A lot of negative headlines last night. Country singer Ingrid Andres sang the national anthem before the Home Run Derby, which brought up a lot of conversations of some of the worst national anthems you've ever heard. Here, if you missed it last night, we have a little bit of a clip play.
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was
Yeah, the first reaction I saw afterward was our good buddy Nick Totoro, who always goes on rants on social media after Yankee losses and basically screaming and hollering about how bad the national anthem was. Well, we do have a little bit of an update. What do we got, Hoff?
Yes, we have an alert. She actually came out on social media in all forms, X, Instagram. I'm not going to BS, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO, Ingrid.
There you go. All right. Well, now we have an explanation as far as why that happened. Hopefully she gets the necessary help she needs.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think she drank more after that performance? Because that was rough.
That was, I mean, what was it? I think it was Carl Lewis before a net game was like one of the worst I've ever heard in my life. Like Carl Lewis yes. before a net game was just, it was like Carl Lewis was, if you're not old enough to remember, Carl Lewis was an amazing sprinter. United States sprinter, 100, 200, you know, 4x100, you know, champion of the Olympics, you know, winning all these. Amazing track athlete. He really was. Sang the national anthem, I think, before a net game at the old Brendan Byrne Arena. And it was one of the worst renditions I've ever heard in my life. And there have been many. There really have been. I think there have been many over the years. There really is. But if I'm thinking about, like, the worst, and that was bad last night. It wasn't Carl Lewis bad. Like, Carl Lewis bad was just on a different level. Do you have it, Pete? All right, here.
Here we go. I'll make up for it now. For the land of the free.
Just so bad. Bro, what an amazing, hey, just so bad.
That was worse, but I will say this is a national stage versus, you know.
I understand. Listen, she's going, you know, hopefully she gets all the help that she needs. She came out, she explained it. I don't know if rehab's super fun. Oh, I mean, I really don't. Hopefully she gets the help she needs. Last night, you're right, on the national stage, and you were like, hopefully she doesn't go to social media afterward, because there was not one positive response at all. Like, that's the one where you shut down all notifications. And you move on. Shut the phone off. Don't pay attention to social media.
My feel is that she checked social media about 30 minutes ago and wrote that post in about 10 seconds and then posted it.
Yeah, maybe. But now we have an explanation. So... good luck, Ingrid. Good luck. I don't know. And I never, have you ever heard of her before?
No. But I don't think, our intern, Brandon, was here and he was saying, oh man, that's it. She's done for. She'll never be heard from again. And
oh, I'm like, don't think that.
Yeah. Roseanne Barr came back and she spit after national anthem.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. She did. I mean, but I like some country music. I had never heard of her before. And was watching it last night, and it was obviously it's the All-Star break. There's not much going on, so you're looking for something to entertain you. So you flip that on, and you hear the national anthem. I'd never heard of her before, and the performance was stunningly bad. But I don't think it's going to define her career.
Unforgettable.
No, it
that's
really
what
was.
That is.
It was like you went.
It's going to go down in the annals.
Yes. Thank you, doggy. Well, we got a couple minutes left to play with, so hopefully she gets the help she needs as she's checking into rehab, as she admitted that she was intoxicated last night singing the national anthem before the All-Star game. But it was very apologetic, and hopefully Ingrid gets the help that she does need. And tonight, it's going to be fun. I mean, there's not much. You've got the convention going on, obviously, but... there's not much from a sport perspective, other than, the All-Star game tonight. And, I always get into it. I think, my wife will be home, Just got a picture from Chip's vet doctor. He's doing well. I asked what's wrong with his stomach. He said he had no idea. So Chip may or may not be back at the Malusis household tonight. Who knows? As he's still having massive digestive issues. And the Malusis household is paying for it. Undoubtedly paying for it. But I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I get into it every year. I appreciate it for what it is. I'm looking forward to see Skeens. I think Major League Baseball, and even though it is a regionalized sport, and unquestionably that it is, you know, you care about, different than the National Football League, where you care about what everyone else is doing. And there's a lot of reasons why, whether it be fantasy football, whether it be gambling, you know, the NFL is the easiest sport to go have an understanding, how to gamble on it as compared to Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, you care, about what's going on your block. You don't care about necessarily what's going on around the league. Until the MLB trade deadline comes rolling along, then you have a little bit of a care about it. But in terms of who's available, baseball's got to do a better job of marketing and doing a better job of, and they're never going to be able to overcome the limitations that they have as a sport, the rhythm to the game. They've tried to speed up the process where it is from a regionalized perspective. But what they can do is as a league, they can go out there and more, and they can go out there and talk about their stars, talk about the brilliance of their young stars, the impact of those players. And Skeens is one of those guys. You know, when you look at a guy that is as dominant as he is early on, kind of look at it. He's only made his major league debut May the 11th. Go out there and market him for what he potentially could be for this league. And they've done it with certain players. They need to do more of it. It's been a massive criticism. I think it's led to where baseball falls right now in terms of the popularity amongst the four major sports, and it's number three. The National Football League is by far the most popular. Then you get into the NBA. Then obviously you talk about Major League Baseball. Then a far fourth is the National Hockey League. Even though I love it, I understand that it's limited when you're looking at the fan base and the reaction that you're going to get from those fans. But Major League Baseball has to do a better job of marketing those young players. And we've said it time and time again. They've done a nice job of speeding up the game, making it a little bit more readily watchable. Some like it, some don't. I like it. I like a game that goes in, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes. I don't need to watch a 4.5 hour baseball game to enjoy that game during the course of the regular season. But that's not what all tonight's about. Tonight is about the young star and the established stars like Judge and Soto and the rest of them that you'll see tonight representing the American League and the National League down in Arlington, Texas. And what you're going to see toe the rubber and who you're going to see toe the rubber for the National League is one of those young, impactful pitchers that is really a generational talent. That is what Skeens is for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was a star for LSU collegially. He was the number one overall pick in 2023. He's been dominant. Last start we saw him, he threw 7 no-hit innings against the Milwaukee Brewers. He's the deserved star tonight for the National League. And that's where I think they got it right. It's not about the established guys. This is about giving a rookie pitcher who's been a dynamic force an opportunity on the national stage, and that's exactly what Paul Skeens has tonight, representing the NL and representing the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I think for the baseball fan out there, don't look at it anything more than really kind of what it is. I'm not going to come on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. filling in for BT and Sal and giving a breakdown necessarily of what went wrong, what went right in the All-Star game, or giving you the take. And I know it's, you know, a slow week, but how you necessarily can improve the All-Star game. Not going to waste the oxygen on that. Who cares? It's an exhibition. That is what the All-Star game is. It is an exhibition. It is in the NHL, is in Major League Baseball, is now with the flag football game in the NFL, and is in the NBA. Take it for what it is, good and bad. And I understand it's not necessarily the same intensity that it once was. You cannot manufacture that. You cannot put extra importance on it where it's not deserved. Tonight is what it is. Hopefully the stars show themselves well. They show out, play out, have a great time, enjoy the sport, bring in some younger fans, make it entertaining, make it fun, have a good time. That's really what the All-Star game should be year in and year out. Hoff, great job across the way. Dove, always great to see you. I'm with you all week long. Be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. filling in for BT and Sal. Thank you for all the calls throughout the course of the program. Really enjoyed the last 4 hours. Stay cool. It's a steamer out there today.